are in this room. The Mishnah says, Kohen sheyesh biyadav mumin lo yisa es kapav. So a Kohen who has a mum should not perform Birkas Kohanim. So there are two possible reasons for this. One is, as we mentioned yesterday, that Birkas Kohanim is compared to an avoda, and a Kohen who has a mum is not allowed to perform the avoda, as detailed in Parashas Emor. And yet, as we'll see in just a moment, there might be a different rationale in this case. Even if you say we don't take the Hekesh that seriously, the comparison between Avoda and Birchas Kohanim ad hasof, we don't take it to the nth degree, that we would say a Kohen who has a mum, you know, can't perform Birchas Kohanim, the Rabbi Yehuda offers a different rationale. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af mi shayu yadav tzivuos, if you have somebody who has sort of a discoloration in the hands, lo yisa es kapav nidnei sha'am mistaklin bo. So what's the rationale? If people will sort of stare at it, it's unusual. So what's so bad about that? So before the contemporary practice of the Kohanim putting the talis above their heads, the Gemara says that it's a very serious violation to look at the Kohanim while they're blessing the Jewish people, because the Shechina is said to rest on the Kohanim. Now today, people still have the minhag of looking away, but technically speaking, you don't need to do that, because it's covered by the talis, it's okay. So before the Kohanim had their hands covered by the talis, it wasn't appropriate to look, because like we had in last week's parsha, right? The second retelling of Maimad Har Sinai, it says that the Atzilei B'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado, right, that they looked at God and there was something wrong with that. So we're not supposed to look directly at the divine presence. Now, one thing that I have seen here, which is really wrong, even on a Doraisa level, is sometimes, I don't see it that often, but sometimes people actually turn around. So that's terrible. Nobody should ever turn around during Birkas Kohanim, because the halacha is that the Kosevarchu es b'nei Yisrael, so the Medrash halacha says, it's panim keneged panim. That's why they face us. They turn around to face us. That's the way you give somebody bracha. If you turn around, that's a terrible thing. So first of all, today, technically speaking, you're allowed to look at the Kohanim. I don't, because, you know, growing up in shul with my father, so we didn't look, you know, put our heads down, put a talus over our head, etc. That's acceptable, but you're not supposed to turn around. Turning around is a significant problem, because on a deraisa level, the bracha is supposed to be panim keneged panim. So again, in terms of a kohen with a mum, so one issue is, especially mum on his hands, so one issue is the hekesh between bracha and avoda. The second issue is that people are going to be mistakel, people are going to look, and the Gemara Masechta Chagiga tells us that tamistakel bekohenim b'shash anosim eskapehen einav kehos. They deserve to lose their vision entirely, lefisha shechina shorel yadehen, because the shechina is present there. Okay, ha'omer eini over lifnei hateva b'tzivu, and somebody says, I'm not going to go up and daven for the Yomid wearing a particular kind of colored clothing, af b'levanim lo yavor. So he should not be allowed to daven for the Yomid. The Gemara says, my taima, chayshinan shem aminos nizr kabo. We're concerned that he might be a min, he might be somebody who rejects the authority of the oral tradition. They had their different superstitions, including maybe, you know, not wearing clothing of certain colors while they davened. The Gemara goes on to say, "Bisandalani over, that I'm not going to go up if I'm wearing sandals," which is again very common in the ancient Near East. "Af yachef lo yaavor," even if he's not wearing any shoes at all, so he should not be allowed to daven for the amid. "Ha'osa tfilaso agula," somebody who takes his tefillin and instead of it being a square box, which is halacha l'moshe misinai, he rounded out, sakana. First of all, it's dangerous. This is something that we're afraid can penetrate into his skull. You know, if it's, I guess, there could be some kind of a danger there, the Mishnah says, ve'ein ba mitzvah, and he's not mekayim the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is to have tulin murubos. It has to be squared off. Again, that's a halacha l'moshe misinai. It's not written anywhere in the Chumash, but virtually none of the halachos about what tefillin are supposed to look like are actually written in the Chumash. And there are so many halachos, the Moshe misinai, when it comes to the mitzvah, Nisana al mitzcho al pas yado harezo derech minos. So the pasuk says, "Ukshatam liosal yadecha vayuto tafos beninecha." So if you see somebody walking around with tefillin, not on their upper arm, but you see they have a tefillin on the palm of their hand, or they've got tefillin like this in their forehead, you have to be concerned again that he's a min, that he's a Sadducee, because he doesn't accept the oral tradition. He doesn't accept that Beit Einecha means really on the forehead at the hairline, but between the eyes. He doesn't accept that Al Yadecha means on your arm somewhere, but we say it's Kereged Halev, it's opposite the heart. Okay, so just to go back to the end of what we were discussing about yesterday, we talked about the concern that if somebody says, that I'm not going to daven for the Amid wearing colored clothes, you have to be concerned that maybe this person has some kind of pagan leanings, af bilavanim lo yavor, because that was something that contemporaneously, times of the Mishnah, that pagans did not do. Besandalini over af yachef lo yavor. Person says that I don't want to go up in sandals, so he shouldn't go up barefoot either, because again, that was something that was known to be part of deviationist groups. Osa tfilasu agula sakana vein ba mitzvah. If you round out your tefillin, it's a danger, and you don't fulfill the mitzvah, because there's a halacha l'moshe misinai that we mentioned that tefillin should be squared off. Nasan al mitzcho al apas yado. So we talked yesterday a little bit about putting them on your forehead, in between your eyes, or literally on your hand. Harezo derech aminos. That's how the tzedukim, who rejected the authority of the Torah Shebal Peh, that's exactly the way that they practiced. Tzipan zahav. If you cover them with gold, right? So that's also a problem, because we spoke about yesterday. Leman tia toras Hashem beficha. It has to come from a kosher animal, so you can't have it covered in gold. V'nasan al beis unkli shelo. So this is a completely unacceptable practice. If a person would, let's say, try to hang them from his arm or put them outside his arm, the pasuk says, it's a personal thing, it's not meant to be on the outside. What an amazing Mishnah. It's totally inappropriate. If somebody says, only good people should praise you, God, so that's not acceptable. The reason for that is because we accept that not everybody is perfect. And in fact, Rashi quotes here something very beautiful from the Ketores. One of the spices of the Ketores was called the Chalbana, and the Chalbana had a terrible smell, but it was mixed in with the Ketores, so overall it smelled good. So again, we're not from a religion that says, look, somebody's not perfect, somebody can't keep all the mitzvos, somebody's made a mistake in the past, we're going to throw them out the window. We don't believe in that. No, that's not acceptable. That's terrible. So we say that a person who says that only the good people should be allowed to daven or whatever it is, that's a horrible thing. Harezo derech aminus. Al ken sipur yagir rachamecha. It's a little bit more controversial here. Somebody says that God had compassion on the mother bird. It's also in the Mishnah in Brachos. Or al tovi zachar shemecha, that God should only be associated with the good things that happen in the world. Or modim. Instead of saying modim once, he says it twice. Mishatkinoso. We silence such a person. So we can understand why somebody who says modim twice, we're going to silence that person, because it's mechzi kishtei rishiyos. It looks like he's a dualist. Remember in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, there were a lot of Zoroastrians around. You know, I don't know how many Zoroastrians there are in Tinek. I could be wrong. But the Zoroastrians were dualists. What they believed in was that there was a God for the good and there is a God for the bad. And so if there's a God for the good and a God for the bad, you might be acknowledging both of them. So that's not going to be okay. And likewise, you can't say, al tov yizachar shemecha, that God's only responsible for the good things in this world. No. Absolutely not. God is responsible for everything in the world. Some things are good, and some things are very bad. Unfortunately, terrible things happen. You have coronavirus. I mean, it's a terrible thing, right? It's very sad. It's very frightening kind of a thing, you know, that goes on. But God is involved, we believe, in everything. So what's the problem with saying that God's compassion reaches the mother bird? So the Gemara in Brachos gives two explanations. One of them is, why did God only show compassion to the birds? Why wasn't God compassionate to other animals? The other explanation is that it sort of is presumptuous to assume that we know the reason for God's commandments, and the truth of the matter is that we don't really know the reasons for God's commandments. By the way, the Rambam says we reject that Mishnah. We assume that every reason, every commandment has a reason, and we should do our best to try to figure it out. The Ramban agreed to that. Add to the Sefer Achinuch. So many times the Torah says, when it's discussing illicit relationships, lo yigale knaf aviv, or lo yigale ervas aviv, that you shouldn't expose your father nakedness, as basically Noah's sons did. So if you would interpret that in a non-literal way, somebody would go around saying, oh, the Torah didn't really mean that you're not allowed to sleep with your stepmother. What the Torah really meant was that you shouldn't humiliate your father in public. So that's also not good. Hamechane ba'arayos mishaskin or so. Ha'omer mizaracha lo titen lahavir lamelech means lo titen la'iabra ba'armiyusa. It means that a person should not have a child with a non-Jewish woman. Mishaskin or so benezifa. We silence that person very dramatically. Benezifa is with a very harsh language. It could even mean to excommunicate. And the reason is, when the Torah says, mizaracha lo titen lahavir lamelech, there's a death penalty associated with that. If a person has a relationship with a woman who's not Jewish, so we're not encouraging people to do that, but that does not mean the person would be chayiv misa, would be liable for the death penalty. So a person who's going to take things out of context, amigalafanim batorah shaloke alocha, that is really, can be a very terrible thing. Masa Ruvain nikra velo metargim. So the story of Ruvain, when Ruvain had a relationship with Bilha, Pasuk says, vayilech Ruvain vayishkav es Bilha pilegesh aviv. So Nikra, you're allowed to read that in the Torah, but lo mitargim. In the days when Ezra introduced somebody who was going to translate the Torah, that should not be translated because we don't want to denigrate Reuven unnecessarily. Okay, Amaisa Tamar, Nikra umitargim. What happened with Tamar when she seduced Yehuda, hopefully for the right reasons, as we assume, L'shem Shemaim, because she wanted to be part of that family, there we can translate. Masa Egel Harisho Nikra umitargim. We read the story of the Egel Azav, though it's not very flattering for the Jewish people, and we do translate it. V'hasheni, but when Aharon tells Moshe what happens, Nikra v'lo metargim. So we don't translate that. There are two different reasons that are given for this. When Aharon says that this Egel just came out, so some people might fall for that. They might say, oh, I guess the calf really was worth worshipping. Another approach is to say it makes Aharon look so terrible. And Aharon was, for the rest of his life, a really great figure. He had this, one big black mark against him. The truth of the matter is that Hashem thought that Aaron really should have been punished with the death penalty at that point, but Moshe interceded on behalf of his older brother, Vegam Aaron, Hisanaf Ma'od Hashmido, Va'espalel Ba'ad Aaron Va'esahi. The Torah says that Moshe prayed so hard for Aaron that Hashem should forgive him and give him another chance, so we're also concerned for the kavod of Aaron. Birkas Kohanim, The pasuk says that Yisa Hashem panavi lecha, that God will show us favor. So we don't a little bit concerned about Birkas Kohanim because people might say that God doesn't play it straight, that God's not fair. The truth of the matter is that the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chaf addresses this point and says God is allowed to show us favor because we go out of the way for God. The pasuk says v'achalta v'savata v'irachta. We only have to bench if we're really satiated, but we bench even if we just have a kezias of bread. So the Gemara says God's not really playing favorites; God's just reciprocating in kind. Masa David v'Amnon nikrayin v'lo mitargmin. So David and Amnon. Anytime that Amnon is associated as David's son, and we wouldn't actually translate that. And the reason is Amnon, as we know the story from the Navi, Amnon raped David's daughter, his sort of half-sister. There are different mothers that were involved, Tamar, and it was a terrible blight on the house of David, and it led to the rebellion of Absalom. Tamar and Absalom were full brother and sister. They had the same mother and the same father. So in any event, there are some people who think that Tamar was the daughter of a Yifas Tower, of a woman that was captive in battle. But again, we don't want David to be associated with what Amnon did because it was so terrible. Ein maftirin b'merkava. We shouldn't read Haftorah from the first chapter of Yechezkel because there's a halacha from a Mishnah in Masechta Chagiga that the Maisa Merkava is something very, very esoteric and we can't really understand it. It describes God's essence. Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Rabbi Yehuda allows it, and the truth of the matter is that's indeed what we have when it comes to Shavuos. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ein Maftirin Behoda Es Yerushalayim. This apostle is in Yechezkel. Hoda Es Yerushalayim Es Toavo Seha. That it's not a Haftorah that we would read to let Yerushalayim know about all of the to'evos, all the terrible things that she has done. Okay, that ends the third parak, and God willing, we'll begin with the fourth parak next week.